Hey there! It's so great to have you back for another visit to Norm Nathan's Vault of Silliness. We return to 1996, October 5th to be exact. I have titled this Propositions, Poultry, and a Performance. It begins with a Darrow Gould intro to a Jack Hart traffic report, and then we jump to Norm. Though the first call is upcut, it's a great one from Tom, who clearly gathers up a bunch of things, makes a checklist, and talks about it all with Norm. Now that's really cool to have someone enjoy Norm so much they would take the time to do that. It starts off with what sounds like he wanted to head up tours to Norm's house. Barbecues, s'mores, but Norm won't give out his address. Is Norm the Lowell Thomas of Boston? Tom gives us a great idea based on something he recalls from WHO in Des Moines, Iowa. Sadly, Norm and I wouldn't be able to consider and expand on it as he would pass away a little over 3 weeks later. We continue with Tom's call, moving on to the subject of Stan Freberg. Next on Tom's checklist is some advice when talking to yourself. Norm reveals he enjoys full-on conversations with himself. And the call closes with a proposition to open a very specialized school. Next up is a sweet call from the woman who has been vital in stocking the vault with so much silly, Joan from Tewksbury. Monarch butterflies, Norm's fill-in scheduling, newspaper articles, big New England fall fairs, and a special event that Norm was going to perform a song at are all subjects of her call. Stay tuned for a special treat, Episode 57, Propositions, Poultry, and a Performance, begins now.
Time now to check traffic on the threes, and here's Jack Hart.
Don, we are dealing with work crews and an accident on the expressway southbound by Furnace Brook Parkway in the Quincy area, Route 93 southbound. We do have plenty of emergency equipment on the scene. Shouldn't be there for too terribly long, but that's going to hamper traffic at least for the next 45 minutes or so. Otherwise, work crews on the expressway north and south at East Milton Square continue until about 5 a.m. Downtown, the Callahan Tunnel remains shut until 5:30. Two-way traffic in the Sumner Tunnel is your alternate route. Tobin Bridge northbound, a lane restriction due to work crews. Work crews on the Mass Pike eastbound and westbound in the Prudential Tunnel continue. Route 95 southbound, Sharon to Foxborough, more work crews to watch out for. And we'll see some line painting later today after 7 a.m. on Route 93 northbound and southbound in the Wilmington-Woburn stretch. I'm Jack Hart, WBZ 24-Hour Traffic Network.
You know, people from 38 states, it's going to be several thousand,
right.
You know.
That's right. We can, I have a kind of a good-sized driveway that can accommodate about, I'd say, 78 or 80 tourist buses.
We can park on the road or, you know, take park someplace else and bring buses in. But, I mean, yeah, you know, everybody can bring a covered dish and we're, you know, chips or something.
That's
and
right.
We have can corn on a cob and roast some hot dogs and have s'mores and, you know, just have a good old time.
You know, that sounds like a really swell idea, Tom. So I hope you don't mind if I don't give you my home address. That'd be kind of funny for the neighbors to see about 80 tourist buses pull up.
Yes, just for a little picnic.
Yeah.
Couple things. One, I take it you have become the Little Thomas of Boston because of your trip?
Well, I hadn't thought about that. I do remember Lowell Thomas used to talk about faraway places with strange-sounding names
and laugh a lot, too. On radio, you could do that. You know, if you stop and think about it, you could say, tonight we're speaking to you from the Himalayas. And who would know the difference?
That's true, except there must be something about truth in advertising that would prohibit that. But Lowell Thomas used to come up with these wild stories about, and then there was King Kukulahaiho in the island of Macaduna. And he'd go on and on like this, and then he'd start to laugh. See, you're too young to remember Lowell Thomas, who was on each night at 7:45 on CBS radio. But he would break up all over the place. I have some records at home, old tapes of his stuff, where he would break up to a point where the announcer, who sounded very straight-laced, would start to break up, too, and couldn't read the Sunoco commercials. Anyway, I'm digressing. That isn't what you wanted to say, but I just thought I'd tell you about that.
Really, a couple of serious notes. One, you'd mentioned about the gap in your signal. Now, I heard one of the people on KMOX, and I think that's one of your sister stations, point out that there are two types of waves. One's and I don't know that much about it, but as I understood him to say, there's like a ground radio wave that travels out for about 100 miles, And then there's a wave that bounces off the ionosphere, and that starts at about 200 miles. There's actually a gap then that starts at 100 miles out, and then to that point up where the ionosphere wave picks up at 200 miles. And that could be similar to what, you know, what some of the people in the Boston area are experiencing.
Well, you could sure fool me. I tell you, snow me with that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it sounded good to me. So
I know it sounds okay to me, too, but I really don't know. I have no idea about any of that stuff. I don't know whether there are mountains in the way that maybe
that
stop
too.
Us to. Although there are no mountains between here and Cape Cod, and I know we don't get down to Cape Cod too well, so you may very well be right.
Hey, another thing that you might want to pursue, because I know you're in old time radio, and there is, or at least there was, as of about a year ago, on WHO, a rejection slip theater. It was by what was called Bootleg Productions. WHO is obviously out of Des Moines, Iowa, and they had they wanted people to submit 2,000-word stories that were rejected by legitimate editors or, in a humorous event, they said, or a rejection slip copy or a note from your mother would be okay, in terms of consideration for the...
What was this now? Were these stories that they read, or did they actually dramatize them?
No, they actually dramatized them, right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That sounds like it'd be kind of fun.
Like I said, it was called Bootleg Productions out of WHO... radio, that the name of the program is called Rejection Slip Theater.
Now, that sounds like fun. I suppose we could maybe think about something like that. Is it possible?
Hey, I got a trivia question for you, too.
Yes.
Who said, wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health, so long?
Goodbye, good luck, good health, and...
So long.
So long. It sounds very familiar. They used to sign off radio programs a lot with those kind of phrases, but I don't recall. Do you know?
Yeah, Jay Michael he was an announcer, the Sergeant Preston of the Yukon.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think I mentioned you, Stan Freberg has brought back a lot of his programming. Actually, Stan Freberg replaced Art Fleming on When Radio Was, which is a syndicated old-time radio program.
Oh, he's got that going for him now?
Right.
I didn't know that. I know he brought out the History of the World Part 2, which he did. You were aware of that? I'm sure you were
right.
Aware of that.
Well, see, now, okay. This is five nights a week. It's a syndicated type deal where they bring back old radio for an hour a night.
Oh, that's interesting. I'll have to look that up because I'm a big Stan Freberg fan. I think he not only did funny stuff on radio and television, mostly radio. I think his stuff was mostly stuff that you wanted to hear. But also... he did some great commercials.
I can remember one where supposedly he was had sound effects of the Lake Erie being drained, and they were filling it with chocolate pudding, and then they had these sound effects, and then it was a matter of putting whipped cream on top of it, and then they had the Royal Canadian Air Force taking this big maraschino cherry and putting it on top. And
yeah,
they said, now let's see TV do that.
Oh, that's right. Now that was the point, of course, of the fact that. You could paint pictures on radio. You could never duplicate on television, and I remember that bit that he did on that. It's very, very, very clever guy. As a matter of fact, so much of the sound effects that were on radio at one time, you just couldn't duplicate not only the sound effects but the illusions you created. Were funny because in your imagination you painted pictures of what it was all about. I'm thinking, for example, of the Fibber McGee and Molly closet.
Yeah.
They would open the closet door and all this stuff would come out. And in your imagination, you try to figure, what could be creating noise? What'd they have in there?
Or Jack Benny going down to his vault.
That's right. That's right. I know Fibber McGee and Molly, for example, went on television in the early days of television and they showed the closet. And the show lasted about 3 minutes. Nobody wanted to see it. Most people just could pay funnier pictures just in their own minds. And of course, the Jack Benny vault and the guy down there saying, excuse me, Mr. Benny, is Calvin Coolidge still president? And all that kind of stuff. No, there's a lot of that. I have an excerpt of a Fred Allen thing in which he goes in with George Jessel to buy a tuxedo. And I can't even, I don't want to even repeat part of it because I can't remember the exact dialogue. But they paint a picture of this tuxedo that is so ugly and so stupid. There's no way you can show a tuxedo like that and have it funny. But you listen to that, and it's hilarious, and it's
because
a bit of material.
It in your own mind. Yes.
That's right, because you picture a... I won't even try to find some of the lines. But picturing it makes it funny. And this is a skit that was written and broadcast over 50 years ago, and it's still, you know, most things that might have seemed funny 50 years ago are not terribly funny anymore. But some of these things and some of the Jack Benny things are wild because you play them around in your imagination, and it's great. Because Fred Allen never really made it on television, and he made a few movies which are not too great either. His whole forte was radio, although Jack Benny, you know, made the transition to television quite nicely. And that's my whole story. But your imagination can make things a whole lot funnier than actually seeing it.
That's true. Hey, along that same idea, as far as the you have the Dragnet version of the dumb birthday game, you know, where you have notorious people's birthdays, and your theme could be, you know, play the dumb da dum 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 dum
dumb birthday game. Yeah, I suppose we could do that.
Hey, a couple of other things real quick. You know, I think I solved your problem for you, that where you're walking down the hallways and you're talking to yourself and people see you.
Yes.
Well, get one of those small tape recorders, you know, and if somebody starts seeing you, then you say, and make a file copy of that letter and sign my name to it. And,
I suppose I could do
you know,
that.
As if you're dictating to somebody.
It's kind of funny. I have a young daughter who's moved back home, and I've lived alone for so long, I forget there's somebody else in the house. And sometimes, but when I'm home at night, I'm sitting on the bed and I'm talking to myself. I mean, I'm really carrying on a conversation. And then I'm thinking, holy cow, if she wakes up now and hears her father going, she'd think I really flipped. But do you talk to yourself at all?
On occasion. I think I mentioned to you, like, I'll catch myself in the car sometimes doing that. If somebody's watching me, then I'll sort of go into song and, you know,
no, I know that,
move to the beat to make it seem like I'm singing instead of talking to myself.
After a while, though, you get used to that kind of thing, so that when people are watching, it doesn't change anything. You figure, well, maybe they'll think I'm talking to myself, but so what? You know, you develop a great deal of confidence, and you don't even care after a while. I suppose that's when you're really over the edge.
Hey, Norm, I've got another business idea for us.
Yeah?
The School of Modern Kazoo. Now, you can learn to play the kazoo by ear. We'll send out audio tapes like they do with the pianos now.
Yeah.
If we get enough interest, we can actually have kazoo tuners. You know, they can go around to people's homes and tune their kazoos.
Why don't you do that? Let me know how you make out.
Okay, Norm. I'll get back.
Okay, keep in touch, Tom.
Take care, Norm.
Take care. Bye-bye. Okay. If you'd like, again, the dumb birthday game would be this number, 254-1030. Area code is 617. We'll be playing the dumb birthday game after 3. If you're out of state or it costs you a whole lot of money to call us, we'll call you back because we're that kind of people. And what do I care? I mean, Westinghouse must have, along with CBS and 8 million radio stations that we own, must have all the money in the world anyway. Be easier for them to pay the bill than you. Hey, Joan in Tewksbury.
Hello, Norm. How are you?
Fine. How are you doing?
Good. I saw a monarch butterfly 2 days in a row.
Hey, son of a gun. You're okay.
And so the second day, I found myself talking to it.
Talking to, what do you say to a monarch butterfly?
Are you the same one I saw yesterday?
Oh, that's right. That you couldn't tell, could you?
No.
Didn't have a mole or something to differentiate it from the other, so it could be the same one.
Right. How come you don't know which week you're going to be filling in for Bob Ross?
Oh, because I don't know, because I have this book at home, and I jot down things that I'm supposed to be doing. And unless I really look at the book, you know, day to day, I forget what I'm, you know, what's coming up. I don't put it in my mind, you know, until it comes up.
I see.
Because I got all kinds of other things to think about, you know, like, as I mentioned earlier, what does Sophia Loren look like naked and stuff. I think about those things more than I do what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah. Let's see, today, Wednesday, there was an article in the Boston Globe about Stephen Wright. Of which I cut out.
It was in the Globe. I didn't see the Globe story. I did see the Herald story on him.
Yeah, well, I'll send it to you.
Oh, would you do that? That'd be great.
Yeah, and this story about the fellow from Middleton that needs a liver. Did you read those?
No, I know that Jack Thomas wrote a series in the Globe, and I guess it's still going on.
No, it just ended
because he ran a number of episodes on that.
Right.
I know. I saw the story in the in our local press several weeks ago.
Oh yeah.
And it's a fascinating story. Have you read them?
Yes, I don't have the first five chapters because I recycle the papers too fast.
Yeah, I do the same thing.
But I cut out the rest of them. So if I send you this other thing, I might send those too.
Okay, that'd be nice. Yeah. I would appreciate that. Yeah.
I went to the Deerfield Fair in New Hampshire.
Oh, yeah.
A week ago or so. And they had all kinds of nice animals. A lot of huge oxen and, of course, the workhorses. And a lot of milking cows. And in the poultry building, they had turkeys and geese and ducks. And those Indian runner ducks?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, well, they had them at another fair that I went to, too. And they're the ones that stand tall and kind of run into the wind. They're the strangest looking things.
That sounds funny the way you describe them in that way.
Yeah.
I know that when I go to the fair, like the Topsfield Fair, which is fairly close to where I live, I very rarely ever go with anybody. Or if I do go with somebody, I come back again later. Because I love to go into the poultry exhibits and the rabbits and all of the others.
Yeah.
And I like to kind of look at them and think, you know what? Because I've raised chickens myself, not a whole lot, but different species.
Right.
And I kind of like to look and see what the new trends are and all of that.
Yeah.
And nobody I know really cares about that. All of them, look at your chicken, look at your stupid chickens, and let's go. Let's get a hot dog or something, you know.
Every one of the birds in that building was, the roosters were crowing, the hens were answering them, the ducks and the geese, they were all yelling at the same time. It was really something. But anyway... Yeah. We went into the, they had a lot of pigs, a lot more pigs than I've seen. So people must be going in for pigs.
Yeah, because we had Al Craig on, who's the head of the Topsfield Fair. And did you hear, I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's why you mentioned that, because he mentioned the big barn, which will be a big pig barn.
Yeah.
You think this is the year of the pig or something?
Right. And a lot of piglets. Oh, there were so many piglets
of
all different sizes.
Well, you know how loose those pigs are, man, with their morals. It's really sickening.
In some of the pens, they had in a corner boards put across so that the pig couldn't, and the piglets were in there, and they had heat lamps on them to keep them warm because they were so small.
Real nice.
But anyway, when we were coming out and we stopped at the horse show, and they had a class of horses, high-stepping horses, I want to call them Tennessee Walker, but I'm sure that they were just probably a regular breed, but they were pulling what I want to call is a Surrey, but I don't think that was it.
A small carriage kind of...
No top thing. To it. The person just sitting on a seat between two wheels.
Oh, that sounds like... what do they call that?
Harness racing.
Harness racing, yeah. That's what that is.
But this was a class. This was and the horses were high-stepping. It was just beautiful. And then the next class was all... Morgan horses.
Oh yeah, do they have a lot of the workhorses, the Percherons and the Clydesdales and the Belgians?
Oh yeah, and they have them pulling things and everything. But this is strictly fancy horse show that we saw.
Yeah, in the past, I know on Topsfield they've had these horses hitch them up to wagons.
Yeah,
and have them do a lot of maneuvers. I have a huge barn.
Oh yeah.
In which with the seats and everything around the side where you can watch them, and the fact that these horses are so huge, they don't even measure them in hands, they measure them in weight.
Right.
And it's so intricate to get them all harnessed up. And all that, and then get them to move where you want them to move. I don't know whether it's like with dogs, the bigger they are, very often the gentler they are. I don't know if that works with horses or not.
I think the bigger horses are more gentle than say the oxen.
I don't know that much. Never owned an oxen.
No.
Or an ox, as we say.
The oxen up there were just huge. Hmm. Either I have shrunk in height, or they have grown. They were just so big. Anyway, that's my story.
Yeah, okay, that's your story. And again, for people who didn't hear our talk with Al Craig earlier, the Tobbsville Fair does open in the morning and runs for the next... Columbus Day, October 14th.
Yeah. Another thing on, the calendar that's put in the Globe on Thursdays, maybe, this thing that you're going to sing at, your name was in the paper.
Oh, okay.
And the whole thing was in there. That it's going to run noon to 5 p.m.
Noon to 5, okay. Yeah. I was wondering, but yeah, I
$10.
Yeah, I'll be there probably around, 1:30, 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
And after 3, I guess they'll have a lot of line dancing.
You're going to have line and tap and ballroom.
Okay, that sounds like it could be kind of fun.
Yeah.
And I know that the Batchelder Band is quite a good band, and then a big 16-piece band, and they'll be playing, and I'll be singing one song with them, and I was over at Bob's house the other day. I've been rehearsing with a band at the Village Green, where he rehearses every other week. And Thursday, I went over to his house, and he was at the piano. We're going over and over it, and I know I'm going to mess it up something awful. But the main thing was I was kind of proud of the lyrics that I rewrote from the original Cole Porter song of "You're the Top." But singing it is a whole other thing, and I don't have a great deal of confidence. So
you'll do fine.
Well, I'm going to try to do it near a door so I can get out quickly.
Don't be like that. You'll do fine.
Okay, thank you, Joe.
Yeah.
Take care.
Talk to you later.
Yeah, fine. Bye-bye.
Deep inside the vault, I came upon a small, locked box. Using my little Orphan Annie decoder ring, I was able to gain access and found that very performance Joan and Norm were talking about. It was for an organization called Self-Esteem Boston. Self-Esteem Boston provides important programs involving a wide variety of health, educational, and skill development. From job readiness programs to substance abuse recovery, pre-release programs, domestic violence shelters, and transitional living, along with human services and other public health programs. Please check them out at selfesteemboston.com. Get ready for this special rendition of Cole Porter's "You're the Top," accompanied by the Bob Batchelder Band, with all new lyrics written and sung by Norm Nathan.
It's now my privilege to introduce my future husband. He said that the Justice of Peace is going to be here at 3:20. Really?
I want you so bad.
You should have heard what this guy said to me when I went on the radio show. I came in shorts and a t-shirt at night. It was 12 o'clock, and I said, "You dragged me out of bed in my pajamas." His eyes almost popped out. He says, "I was expecting somebody else, and I get this young girl with legs, and that ain't all." Anyway, he asked me to marry him after a brief 30-minute courtship, and I accepted, and then I asked him if he had money. So it was my pleasure to introduce... He doesn't have any money, but he can dance. I'm sure everybody knows, and if they don't, you will now. Last year, I interviewed with Norm Nathan on his show on the phone, and I said, "Gee, Norm, next year, why don't you come to our event and sing?" Little did I know he was going to take me up on it. So here he is.
Norm Nathan, from DZ Radio. Jesus, did we need all that? But I tell you, I've been at home throwing up all morning, worrying about this moment. Would you come down, Nancy, and help me with this? No, I know you did, but please help me with this. You're very nice to be quiet, and maybe that's not a good thing for me. Maybe if you all talked a lot, drowned me out, I'd be better off. What we did, and I have to apologize. Vocalists usually just come up and sing. They don't apologize and make excuses, but I'm not a singer. I don't need to tell you that. You'll find that out in about a minute or two. But I took a Cole Porter song called You're the Tops, and outside of the verse, which is the original Cole Porter lyric, I changed the rest of the song. It takes a lot of chutz. This is Nancy Carr, who's helped me a great deal. We're rehearsing. I think I may marry both of you. I might be. Because I happen to be a lusty, hungry person. Anyway, outside of the verse, which is the original Cole Porter lyric, the rest of the lyric is mine. And I'm kind of pleased with the way with the writing, but I'm not pleased with the way I sing. And I'm not even sure quite when to join the band, and so we both come out at the same time. And Nancy has been helping me a great deal. Yeah, so she kind of mouths the thing, and I watch, and I mouth along with her and stuff. So it's kind of more like a Rex Harrison talking thing. Did I make enough excuses, or this is not professional? I should just come out and do it. Okay. Here's a. Oh, take your camera away, please. I suppose a camera would be better than a tape recorder, as long as you're not recording. If that's okay with me too. What's that? Oh, the tape recorder's under the stage? Okay, here we go. Hold on just one second more. I think I can fill the whole time between now and five making excuses. Anyway, now I forgot what I was gonna say. Oh, no, I know the words. Okay, anyway, despite the fact that I wrote the words, I can never memorize them. I'm stalling because I figure if I keep talking, you all will leave, and I'll be standing here alone, and nobody will see what an ass I'm going to make of myself. Okay, here we go. Words poetic, I'm so pathetic that I always have found it best, instead of getting them off my chest, to let them rest unexpressed. I hate parading my serenading, and I'll probably miss a bar. But if this ditty is not so pretty, at least you'll know how great you are. You're great. Okay. You're the top. You're the self-esteem group. You're the top. You're a BZ news scoop. You're the Bad Shelter Band, you're Wonderland, you're Mel Torme. You're Bloomingdale, you're the Freedom Trail, you're Bob and Ray. You're the top. You're a Jewish deli. You're the top. You are Smucker's jelly. I'm just a broadcaster, a near disaster, a malaprop. But, baby, I'm the bottom, you're the top. Adorable person. You're the top. You're a Christmas eggnog. You're the top. A Joe and Emo hot dog. You're a Mouseketeer, Sam Adams beer, a Bruins gold. You're the Topsfield Fair, Scully Square, the totem pole. You're divine. A Julia Child dinner. You outshine any Megabucks winner. I'm a rush hour traffic, my fault so graphic. A flop. Baby, I'm the bottom, but you're the top. You're the cop. The cyclone at Revere Beach, you're the cop. A James Michael Curley speech. Your Bozo the Clown, Charlie Brown, Noah's Ark. You're the Boston Pops, Satchmo's Chops. You're Fenway Park. You're the top. You are an old coward. You're the top. You're Aunt Corio's old Howard. You're the Swan Boats in summer. Batchelder's drummer, Dizzy's bop. But if baby, I'm the bottom, you're the top, damn it. You're the top. You're the Harvard-Yale game. You're the top. You are my old flame. You're Filene's and Macy, Blues by Basie, a 10-speed bike. Your Faneuil Hall, Celtics basketball, your Lenny's on the bike. You're the top. The drive of Buddy Rich. You're the top. A genuine Salem witch. I'm a bad singer, a humdinger, and now I'm about to stop because, baby, if I'm the bottom, you're the top. Thank you. I don't know. Thank you. A standing ovation from one member of the band. That's better than nothing, I suppose. I don't know whether you do this or not. I'll relinquish this in a moment. I'm just warming up. I thought I'd do five or six more things. Anyway, it looked like Nancy was coaching me, but actually it was the other way around. Yeah, because she may want to do the song one day. Anyway, thank you very, very much. I appreciate it. How about a hand for the great Norm Nathan? That was terrific. He wrote all those lyrics himself. And I don't know, not too many people can take Cole Porter's lyrics and give it a little zing. Norm is able to do that. That's great.
Norm did a fantastic job writing those lyrics. And kudos to all involved with pulling that off. And I'm just so darn pleased I was able to bring it to you here. Remember, if interested, please visit selfesteemboston.com. Before we go, let's welcome some new commercial content. Midas and New Tread Tire.
Hey, where are you going?
Gotta get my brakes fixed.
Yeah, better take care of those.
I'm on my way.
To Midas?
Well, actually I was gonna...
Don't you know the Midas way?
You mean the way to Midas?
No. Everyone knows where Midas is. Right. But do you know about the Midas Way, their system?
No, I'm lost.
The Midas Way is their system for working on your car's brakes or suspension or exhaust.
A system?
Yeah, they thoroughly inspect your car, show you the work, explain your repair options, and they let you decide what gets done. Huh. It's all right there in the open for you to see, so there's never any surprises.
I don't like surprises.
Who does? That's why the Midas Way services over 9 million cars a year, and by the book.
I guess I didn't know that.
Well, that's why I'm standing out here in all this traffic.
Well, I guess I should get going.
Yeah, I've got other folks to talk to.
I'm not the only guy?
Sorry.
Oh, well, maybe I'll try the Midas way.
Hey, great, yeah, just go right up the street here, turn left, and... Okay, bye. Stop in and ask about the Midas way. Midas Auto Systems experts. What can we do for you today?
Airport parking, free.
Hello, hon. You aren't going to believe this. The parking for my trip was free. Just 3 minutes from Logan. Yeah, free. I just called Fly and Park Free, a service of New Tread Tire and Auto, at 1-800-930-FREE, and took advantage of their free shuttle service for Logan passengers. After calling, I dropped my car off at one of New Tread's two close to the airport locations, and they shuttled me to Logan. Of course they're going to pick me up when I get back. New Tread's Fly and Park Free service is completely dependable for travelers like me, and you too. New Tread people are great. No, honey, New Tread isn't new. They've been in business since 1933. They figure the best way to meet new customers, besides all the referrals they get, is to do something nice for them. In fact, the next time I travel, I'm having the car serviced while I'm away. New Tread proved themselves to me. I just called 1-800-930-FREE and asked for the Fly and Park Free service from New Tread Tire. That's 1-800-930-FREE.
closing the vault, and riding the radio waves home. For Lowell Thomas, radio waves bouncing off the ionosphere. Bootleg Productions, WHO in Des Moines, Iowa. J. Michael, Sergeant Preston of the Yukon, the Canadian Air Force, Lake Erie, Stan Freeberg, Fibber McGee and Molly, Fred Allen, George Jessel, talking to yourself with confidence. Kazoos, monarch butterflies, oxen, workhorses, milking cows, chickens, geese, turkeys, Indian running ducks, pigs with no moral compass, the Deerfield, New Hampshire Fair, Al Craig, the Topsfield Fair, Self-Esteem Boston, Cole Porter, the Bob Batchelder Big Band, and Norm, your imagination can make things a whole lot funnier than actually seeing it, Nathan. I'm Tony Nesbitt.